Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 12, 2026, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, if a mere code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Joanne L. reading the 12 steps, Mary Frances W. reading the 12 traditions, Dion R. will be reading the text, Janice P.M., page 164, and Chanel T. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Anne S.C.H., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, June 11th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,540 or 23540. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,542 or 23542. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. We will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Stephanie. And again, I apologize. I'm taking care of family. I'm so sorry. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island in Massachusetts right now, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater and grateful for today. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Excuse me. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star one to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star one to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, if a mere code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Dion R. to please begin reading. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hi, this is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. If a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life was sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could not wish to be moral. No matter how much we tried, we could not wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might. But the much-needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And that reminds me of coming into this program, I thought my morals and being right, doing the right thing, would it help me overcome alcoholism? Would it help me overcome my compulsive overeating? No, it did not. Because when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I had given up a lot of my old ways. And so I really thought I'd start back going to church. And by that time, and I thought by being moral and living right and got the kids in church again and doing the right thing, and had given up beverages that wasn't good for me. And I thought living right would be the right thing. But that didn't stop my compulsive overeating. It did not do it. I couldn't wish it away, no matter how much. I wanted to be philosophically right. I wanted to argue about human rights and I just wanted to argue about what is morally right and who's wrong. I stayed in those windy arguments. And it didn't still stop my compulsive overeating. I even argued about, so what if I'm fat? Who got to look at it? Don't look at me, man. Close your eyes. You know, things like that, all the types of things. But no, I needed something else. And the fact is, I still was miserable inside. I would be down inside. I was miserable because I felt powerless. Like, why can't I fight this? Why? And the gift is, I didn't know it then. I believe in God. And I began to believe in God, but I didn't think he believed in me. I thought everything that happened to me was so horrible that was going and everything. And I believe what people said, that you did this, that's why that's happened to you. And I didn't get God a chance to get to me and show me that wasn't me. That wasn't me doing these things to me. I was blocked by a lot of windy thinking and arguments. So I didn't build a personal relationship with God. I didn't give him a chance. But yeah, at that time, I was blocked by all these arguments and everything. But I tried to do everything right, and I still couldn't stop. I was still powerless. It took more than human will. It took a power greater than me. But it took time. But that was, remember, being agnostic. Then I began to say, well, really? Is it? You know, and then, but the beginning was what I need, and what they're talking about is, yes, I thought if I did everything right, crossed every T, dot every I, that I would stop eating based on that power. And it didn't work for me. And I'm glad I hung around years long enough. And on the 23rd, it'll be 14 years, and I found that power, who is my best friend to this day, that caused me to lose over 100 pounds. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Stephanie, for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, DNR. Great way to get us started. So we're now going to open the meeting up for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sherry Hill.
I heard Sherry. What were the initials for Sherry?
H-M.
And where are you calling from, Sherry?
Washington.
Gotcha.
Lori T. from Manitoba.
I think Lori T from California.
T from Tango.
Got you. Okay.
Thanks.
Marcel F, Manitoba.
I think I heard Marcel F as in Frank from Canada.
Yes.
Donna right. B.
And let's see, Donna B. And Donna, where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Michelle W. C.
Okie dokie, got you, Michelle. And let's see, I have Sherry H. M., Lori T., Marcel F., Donna B., Michelle W. C. Did I miss anyone? Or was there anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup?
Janice PM.
I've got you, Janice. And that, where are you from again?
I'm from Massachusetts.
That's right. Massachusetts. Got you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll go with that lineup then. So we're going to go ahead and start with Sherry H.M., followed by Lori T. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sherry H.M., so gratefully recovered, calling from Washington State. And, wow, this is a powerful paragraph for me because I love the line, but the needed power wasn't there. Wow, because I tried everything I could think of back in the day. I'd go on and off diets and this and that and exercise more and, you know, do the pay and weigh and all that kind of stuff. But it is the inability to be able to change this is what led me into a relationship with my higher power, whom I call God. And I remember someone told me about OA. I'd been in Al-Anon for like, I don't know, 15, 20 years at that point. And so my sisters from Al-Anon and myself, we went out to lunch and they ate all this healthy food. And I was, you know, asking, well, what's with all that? And they both had kept off quite a bit of weight for many, many years. So I did not want to try that because I thought that, you know, I would have to divorce sugar. And that was, you know, I called God my higher power. But where did I go when there was really trouble? Well, I went to food, especially sugar. So anyway, 6 years later, I guess I got the gift of desperation because I had all these medical bills, about $13,000 to $16,000 a year. My husband and I paid out of pocket, which was a lot of money for us. So I finally called up one of my sisters that had, you know, told me about the program many years ago, and she shared her experience, strength, and hope. And I had had my last peppermint mocha, and I drove home, and I just go, okay, God, I cannot do this. I can't. You're going to have to do it for me. And then I got into OA and got into Vision, and that was almost 12 years ago, and I'm so grateful that, you know, God and this, all you wonderful people, and Humble Pie is always on my food plan, though, the Humble Pie, and all you people, and God has got me through, and I'm so grateful. So I pass, and I'm Sherry with a C. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Sherry from Washington. Next up, we've got Lori T., followed by Marcel F. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Lori T. from California, and I am a compulsive eater and bulimic. And I wanted to share my newest revelation. Of course, it has to do with a power greater than myself. But I was sitting in fear yesterday in the morning regarding going to a gun class. It's a long story, so if anyone wants to reach out and listen to the rest of it, they can. But as I did a two-way prayer, the answer came, you know, feel the fear and do it anyways. And I remember reading a book, I think, with that title. Not only does that apply to everything in life, but it definitely applies to my abstinence. So the other message I got a few days ago was through a fellow that told me, you know, I'm just abstinent one meal at a time. And for me, that's all I can handle. Because I'm going to be abstinent for my breakfast today. And then I'll go back to God and pray about my lunch. But it helps me stay in the moment. And I don't need to worry like, oh, wow, I used to have this many days. Or, you know, days, so what? We all only have today. That's the conclusion. So as far as sitting still through meals and not eating, if I get a craving, it's like feel that fear, whatever it is, and do it anyways. Just don't eat. Don't eat and ask God for help more than I think I need to ask for help. because a lot of times I think, I got it. No, I don't have it. But I think if I stick to feel the fear and do it anyways, live in the present moment, and not worry about the future, because that's not going to get me anywhere. But just being in today just has always worked for me. So I just wanted to share that. Everyone have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori T. from California. Next up, we've got Marcel S., followed by Donna B. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. And I'm Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada, and just delighted to be able to be here with all of you this morning. And I am recovered just for today by God's grace, love, and mercy. Yes, talking about morals, I thought I was morally lacking when I was in the disease, and I kept thinking, like, what is wrong with me? Why can I not do this? You know, I tried everything like others have shared, but I lacked the power. And so being morally strong or having willpower, this could not save us. And I did wish to be philosophically comforted. I wanted to be physically comforted too, until I found that there was a power greater than myself and it was not me. I had repeated proof that I could not do it on my own power. Willpower is good as long as it works until it doesn't. When I came to OA, I thought I knew what I wanted. Of course, it was to lose weight. And I wanted to stop that yo-yo cycle of dieting and gaining weight again. But really, what I wanted was to eat my alcoholic foods again after losing the weight. And in a way, and working the steps, I found out that what I really wanted was freedom from the cravings and the obsession. And to do that, I had to have a personal relationship with a power greater than myself. So I always believed in God, but I didn't believe that he could be bothered with such a trivial thing as my food problem. But yes, I found that God cares about me, every little bit of me, and every bit of all of us. And that's definitely beyond human power. So I'm just delighted to have been led to Vision for You through the 12 steps of the Big Book, and just a privilege to be able to share it and pay it forward. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcel F. from Canada. Next is that Donna B., followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor from Colorado. I do spell my name V-A-N-A, and I do welcome phone calls. What I wanted to share is that I am a first-generation American in my family. So my parents spoke with heavy accents and, not the most eloquent English. And one of the masks that I wore, of the many masks that I wore, was to speak eloquently. And I find that sometimes people are attracted to me because of the way that I speak and the flowery words that I can use and the way that I can communicate effectively and so forth. And I see that in the rooms as well as outside of the rooms. I'm attracted to people as well who speak well, who communicate their messages effectively, and who have these philosophies and can expound on them. But what I've learned in the rooms is that there are these beautiful people that sometimes say nothing at all. That have had profound spiritual experiences, that have these amazing stories to tell. And part of the experience that I've had in the rooms is to learn to listen to the miracle, to learn to observe in awe even in the strangest places. And sometimes that's in the quiet, in silence, in the people who aren't speaking. And for me to be led by my higher power to go to them and say, tell me about yourself. Tell me your story. Tell me what you've been through. So that was one thing I wanted to share, which I hope is relevant to this paragraph specifically. And in terms of the philosophies and the moral conducts, from the youngest age, I used to make these commitments. Tomorrow I will. Tomorrow I will. And I'd have these long lists of commitments that I was going to make. And I just couldn't adhere to them. I just couldn't. And so I know from my own personal experience that making a commitment does not mean that I have the power to follow through with it, that my power is insufficient. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Next, we've got Michelle W.C., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. It's Michelle W.C. in California. And wow, this is a great, great paragraph. Right? If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life would help us to overcome, you know, our addiction, our food compulsion, I would have recovered a long time ago. And I mean, and to me, even that applied to trying to my 10-year search of trying to find the right diet, the right commercial diet, food plan. And that doesn't save us, no matter how hard we try. And, you know, the other word in this paragraph that really stands out to me is comforted. And I am definitely someone who seeks comfort. And for the longest time, that meant putting something in my mouth to find the comfort. And now I'm learning other ways to find comfort. A lot of the tools in this program help me find comfort, especially outreach, especially writing. And but the problem was I didn't have the power. Yesterday, I checked out another fellowship. I have, you know, a similar addiction to something else, and I showed up there, and I was, you know, I was just wanting the system, and I was remembering that's kind of like my first time I came to OA, where I just really wanted the food plan, and I, you know, even though I've been through the steps, and I know the process, and the process is that I need a power greater than myself to help me figure out what it is that I'm seeking the comfort in, and what it is. Because I'm seeking comfort in things or food or people, but it's not. That's not where you find the true comfort, the true rest, and that is with a power greater than yourself. And for me, I call that God. And it's turning to God for direction, to direct my thinking, to help give me comfort when I feel uncomfortable, so that I'm not searching for comfort in places that aren't going to give it to me. It's just an empty promise. And so for years, I thought I really lacked self-discipline because I could, you know, it's whether it's the food that I was eating out of control or not making my commitments or collecting and shopping for too many things. I really thought it was self-discipline. And what the whole time, what I've realized is this wasn't self-discipline. It was that I didn't have a power greater than myself, and I didn't have that self-awareness that I have a disease. And that no amount of self-will is going to help with that. I need a spiritual solution. And I'm so glad that I found these rooms and know that there's so many more fellowships that can help me with all my problems. But the real source is that I just need to turn to God, and God will direct me. So thank you so much for letting me share, Michelle W.C. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Michelle W.C. from California. Next, we've got Janice P.M. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, Stephanie. I hope I'm unmuted. Am I?
You're unmuted.
Okay, honey. Thank you so much. My goodness. Yeah, I am Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts for many, many years. All right. Now we come to a beautiful, I believe it's my favorite chapter, because I found a solution after going through what they told me to do. Now, this is the beginning. Now, I found out, hopefully that you have found out, probably, by now that I am powerless over food. That's what I come in here for. I'm powerless. I found out, can't do it anymore. I tried and blah, blah, like all of us tried. Now, we just got through reading more about alcoholism. Well, that's our problem. The ISM. It didn't say more about food, more about alcohol. It says more about alcoholism. And the ism, for me, is the disease. Then what is the disease? The disease is I, self, and me. I'm the problem. And this is what I get from this, too, because I did research one time, and I went through the book, and I found out, let me just say, over 500 times between the word spiritual and the word God in this big book. So now they tell me, we just read, the only way, only is one. Only way, if you are really powerless and you are compulsive overeater in our case, the only solution is spiritual. So now I'm saying, yeah, sure, but how come they don't talk about spiritual first? Well, if they did, like, you know, Bill Story, when he was going to the bars, if he ever started talking about God or a higher power, they all wouldn't even listen to him, right? So they know what they're doing, these recovered pioneers. So now, but they tell us on page 64, when we're ready to do an action plan to find that power, they tell us when we come and we overcome the spiritual, when we do the spiritual, tend to the spiritual malady, which is the third part, I have a physical, mental, and spiritual problem, then I will straighten out mentally and physically. Now, I could never understand that. Why didn't they say physically first and then mentally? No, it's the mental obsession here. It's the unmanageability that I, self, me, do not have. I can't manage myself, especially when I'm eating. So this is the second part of the first step before we get into. And it says you test yourself. Are you really alcoholic? Are you a compulsive overeater? So now I have to find. Okay, there. So moral. I'll just tell myself this. A moral code is the truth. It's being honest with whatever I have to do, my eating and my behaviors. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Aw, thanks. Thank you so much, Janice M. from Massachusetts. Before I get into the lineup, let me remind everybody where we are. We are in the big book, of course. We are in chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, the fourth full paragraph beginning with, "It's a mere code of morals," ending with, "They failed utterly." And so we read and we are commenting on that one paragraph this morning. If you'd like to share, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Darcy A.
Darcy, where are you calling from?
From Seattle, from Washington State.
Thank you. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Mo K, California.
Is that Laurel K?
Mo K.
Oh, Mo. Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
And we have time for probably about three more people as well. Who else would like to hear?
Is that Dana P? Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can. And where are you calling from, Dana?
California.
California. Got you. And we can take one or two more. Who else? Don't be shy. It's a great paragraph to share on.
Betsy H.
Betsy H. And where are you calling from, Betsy?
California.
California. Got ya. And we might be able to fit one more in if anyone else wants to get on the end of the list.
Lorraine W. from Massachusetts.
Was that Lorraine W.?
Yes.
Got you. Okay, so I've got Darcy A., Mo K., Dana P., Betsy H., Lorraine W. We're going to start with Darcy A., followed by Mo K. Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning. This is Darcy from Washington State. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic, and my heart is pounding, but I really want to share on this. So I had moral and philosophical convictions galore. I wanted to be an honest person. I didn't want to lie and sneak. I wanted to pick my son up at school on time, my little boy at preschool. I wanted to be a kind and loving wife. You know, I had all these beliefs about myself and ways that I wanted to be, ways that I was raised, and I just couldn't live up to them. When I'm in the disease, when I'm in the food, you know, I really tried to be to do all those things, but I was just, you know, I couldn't stop eating, and I was thinking. On June 10th was my anniversary, 25 years, and I thought back who I was. I dug out my wedding dress to look at it, and I remember I had been in recovery for a year, mostly abstinent, but not really, from all my alcoholic foods, and I lost 100 pounds, and I got married, and at the wedding I had cake, and then I was back and running. You know, I'm so grateful to know what my problem is today, you know, and that there's a solution. And I have to have a higher power. You know, I thought I could do it on my own, and I thought that it was me doing it. But I can't. You know, I'm powerless. And I really tried. You know, I can remember waking up in the morning, trying to get abstinent again, and being like, okay, today I'm not going to eat. You know, and by 10 o'clock, I was back in the food. You know, I just... Once I have that one bite, I'm sunk. And June 10th was Dr. Bob's sobriety date, and that was my anniversary. And I'm so grateful for the solution, you know, that Bill W. helped Dr. Bob, and he got sober. And from then on, we've all, you know, it's been passed down. And I don't know, I just have so much gratitude today for this program and for all the people in my life. I'm on step 11, and I was thinking about living by spiritual principles and in all my affairs and helping others. And when I'm in the disease, I just can't do any of that. I'm just non-functioning. And, you know, I don't want to, sounds gross, but purge in showers today, you know? I mean, I just have such a good life, and I'm just grateful to be on this call. I'm so grateful for Vision and all the people in my life that are helping me to be abstinent today and for a power greater than myself. I'm so grateful to God. And thank you for everyone that's doing service on this call. I'm so grateful, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Darcy A. from Washington State. Next, we've got Mo K., followed by Dana P. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning. This is Mo K., compulsive overeater in California. Thank you, everyone, for this meeting. It's funny. It helps me exhale just reading this because, in part, it reminds me of the hell that was, and it reminds me of the hell that can be any day. And by that, I mean we could wish to be more. We could wish to be philosophically. We could. Yeah, that was me. I could, oh my gosh, I could have the best thing. Okay, Monday I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this with this. Okay, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to work out. That was the could I lived in when I was in the disease. And it was never reality. It was always in the future. It was always in my mind. And there was always implications because of it, because I would keep eating what I wanted. because I didn't realize I couldn't stop. And thankfully coming to the rooms, learning kind of what reality was again, looking in the mirror, actually looking at the scale, looking at where I sat on this certain chart and why I couldn't stop eating and why when I go to the doctor, my weight was always in that category and I pretended it wasn't a real thing. So I lived in this not reality. So thank God for this program and finding, you know, something to teach me to be in reality and just for today and the gift of recovery of being present of just these 24 hours. And I love at the end of it how it says, you know, marshaled by the will, our human resources as marshaled by the will were not sufficient. They failed utterly. That was kind of where I lived in my will. And I love just one of my favorite prayers is your will, not mine, your will, not mine. And I feel like that can get me out of what can be the current. It's not just in the past, because for sure my disease is not going away. It's I expect to be in this program forever. And one day at a time, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of living in reality and honestly and doing, you know, 10 steps and looking at where am I selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and fearful. And that dishonesty is a big one. There's so many ways to be dishonest, so much more. When I came in, I thought it was just about lying. Just to wrap it up, I think the your will, not mine, that is just the gift that frees me because when I'm in myself, I'm a little cloud of ball of dust around my head with thoughts running around, and that can be a place of hell. And the peace and the joy and the recovery comes from your will, not mine. What would you have me do today, higher power? How would you have me act? How would you have me show up? How would you have me be in this relationship? And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mo Kay from California. Next, we have Dana P, followed by Betsy H. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Dana P. I'm in California. Let me know if you can't hear me. I think I found a quiet spot here. You know, this paragraph talks about the spiritual experience. The spiritual experience sufficient to relieve us of our alcoholism. And I love what was shared about the ism. You know, I mean, I'm no longer compulsively eating, drinking alcohol, doing food behaviors, but I still have the ism. And so what is that? You know, we think of the spiritual experience as being something beautiful up in the clouds, which, yes, it absolutely is, heaven on earth. However, our book defines it, and I'm super into looking at what Bill was talking about. It's a personality change. And Dr. Silko talked about that too. And what is it? It's moral. It's moral. And so, you know, I just thought all I had to do was use my will. And I've heard it said in this meeting this morning about I just had to use my will to change these quote unquote bad behaviors. And some of them I didn't even know about until I got to step four. And there's a reason why the steps are in order. And step 11 is the spiritual experience, although it does happen usually starting after step 8. But, you know, this chapter is talking, this paragraph here is talking about 6 and 7. And so I thought, you know, I had enough information, but no transformation. I thought knowing all of that list in step 6, all of my personality characteristics that were negative or character defects, as the book calls it, liabilities, defense mechanisms. I thought I could use my will to change all that, and I could not. I had to move on to step 7, and I still continuously, day by day, find myself tending to go towards those things. You know, by nature, in an odd sort of way, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, I'm a thief. And when I'm in myself and when I want what I want, I can tend to go there still. So I have to be very vigilant and connected to my higher power continuously on a daily basis. Sometimes moment by moment, I have to get down on my knees and stuff just keeps coming up again and again and again. So, yeah, I'm going to pass with that. Thanks so much. Everybody have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Dana P. from California. Next, we have Betsy H. from California, and it looks like that will be our final share. Sorry, Lorene, I don't think we're going to get there. So go ahead, Betsy, take us out.
Good morning. This is Betsy H. from California, a recovered compulsive reader. And just thinking about that, I had morals, I had philosophies, and it's true, they didn't save me from my addiction of compulsive overeating. And it's logically, I would think that they would save me, but this disease, for me, it's not logical. I just, it's like in my brain, and it tells me to go, continue going back again and again to eat the food, even though I've just been devastated that I binged again, that I gained weight again. But I forget all that. And then my brain tells me, oh, just go back and eat this food. And it's like the morals and the philosophy didn't solve that problem. And it says here, my human resources failed utterly. The needed power was not there. So that's definitely a sobering thought. How can I get that needed power so that I don't have to overeat today, and so I can live a life with more dignity, honor, and grace? And that's what the 12-step program is a proven methodology for doing. And it's like there's something in me that's blocking me from that power. It's blocking the cell signal, the Wi-Fi. I need a good Wi-Fi signal with a higher power that can solve my problem. Because I've tried to solve it. I've tried to solve my food problem. I've tried to solve my financial, relationship, health, any problems, actually. And I can't control those. And so the 12 steps, I'm just reminding myself, like, yeah, I got to do action every day on the 12 steps, because that's what clears away that blockage, or it gives me a clear signal so that my higher power can come in and do what I can't do for myself. And it's whenever I forget and try to start solving the problems myself, that's when I get into a lot of trouble, and it doesn't work well for me. Maybe for other people it does. But for me, I need that higher intelligence. I need that higher power, the ultimate problem solver, the ultimate love and guidance. And so I'm just going to keep coming back, grateful to be abstinent today. And I'm not doing my program of recovery perfectly by any means. But, you know, each day I get a chance to keep practicing it. So that'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy H. from California. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Janice P.M., can you please read A Vision for You? Oh, not Janice P.M. I'm
right
so sorry.
Yeah,
No, it's Janelle. It's me having a moment.
No, it is.
No, okay. Wait. No, it's not. It is Janice. Go, Janice, go. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, here I am. Our book is really meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Oh my God, what is I? My book is so. Omit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until that pass.